First Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, reading from verse 1 into 4. First Peter chapter 5, verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Amen. As we read through the scriptures, at times we come across passages that we don't see that it applies to us, or that may not necessarily be addressed, or at least we think it's not addressed to us. And in this passage, the Apostle Peter says he's writing to elders, and as we saw, most of us here are not elders. However, what he does write applies to everyone. Because the Apostle Paul, in his letters, 1 Timothy and in Titus, where he expresses the characteristics or the qualifications for an elder, Peter here is dealing with more the attitudes that are in there. And these attitudes apply not just to elders. They especially apply to elders, but not just to elders. They apply to each one of us. And another point is that guys, boys, men, it is a good thing to desire to be an elder. It's not an easy thing, but it is a good thing to desire to be an elder. And so therefore, you should take note of what these things are, that you may desire to do a good work of training to be an elder. And ladies, you have a choice of choosing those who lead you in your church. And so you need to take note of these characteristics too, so that you choose wisely those who will lead you, those who will rule over you rightly. And so, as I said, while this is particularly addressed to elders, this passage, it does not exclude any of us from studying it and understanding it and learning from it. And there are five items. I don't usually preach five-point sermons, but there are five items that Peter brings up. He says, an elder must be willing. He must not be greedy for money. He must be eager to serve. He must not lord it over others. And he must be an example. He must be an example to us in the church and to those outside. Well, first of all, an elder is to be willing. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. God calls elders to be willing, calls them to serve him. He calls all of us to be willing to serve him and to serve others because of him. It's not good enough simply to do your duty. Oh, I'm on the door roster, I need to turn up. We need to be willing to be there. For example, while God could demand that you give him all of your possessions, everything you own belongs to him, he only asks you to be willing to give him back at least a tenth. He prefers a cheerful giver over a grudging tither. And this is a lesson for all of us. Jesus doesn't want half-hearted workers. He doesn't want us to grudgingly front up to represent him. He wants you to cheerfully give him of your time, of your energy, of your brains, as well as of your money, your effort. Now, there's no place here for guilt trips. Peter isn't promoting emotional blackmail. One of the things I learned early as a young Christian is that church and Christian organizations are very good at emotional blackmail. I mean, take for example, how do churches in general, not necessarily saying this one, but how do churches in general get people to stay in the Sunday school for year after year after year after year? As soon as some Sunday school teacher has had it and they're wanting to get out, they put their hand up and say, I need to leave, I need to quit, I need a rest, I need a break. And the first thing they said to them, well, if you leave, then we'd have to close it down. And you pull at the apron spring, the heartstrings of people when, so they stop, they don't retire, they don't take a rest, they go back into it, but their heart's not in it. And the job's only half done properly. And that's just, it's one of many jobs that we blackmail people to stay in when they're not willing to serve. We want people who are willing to serve. God wants people who are willing to serve. Jesus left the splendor of heaven to cheerfully obey his Father. What about you and I? He went from someplace that is unimaginable, unimaginably great, to here. Willingly. He could have got off the cross anytime he wanted to. He's God. He willingly stayed there and died. Are you willing to work for the Lord? Do you desire to serve the Lord in the church with your gifts and your talents? Everyone has an ability to do something. The question is, are you willing to do it? The second thing that Peter brings up is not greedy for money. The Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. And there are a few things that test a person's spirituality better than, or more accurately than, the way that they use or the way that they respect or don't respect money. This characteristic also includes those who are looking for prestige, who are desiring to be first in the church. You are to choose men who are not likely to become puffed up. Rather, they are to be men who put Jesus Christ first in their life, who are led by a desire to serve the Lord Jesus. Peter here is could quite well be thinking of Judas Iscariot. You know, he was one of the 12. He was sent out on missionary journeys. He helped heal the sick. He helped cast out demons. But Judas was the keeper of the money bag, and he was a thief who betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. If our goal is to get what we can out of our relationship for Jesus, if it's what I can get out of it, then that's the wrong goal. Belong to Jesus, I have everything that he has. That's not the purpose of belonging. If our goal is to be to try and get everything that we can, then we will easily be tempted to do things that Jesus tells us not to do. We will be easily tempted to try and get the results we want through any means possible, including ones that are contrary to Christ. Do you put Jesus first in your life, or are you only following him for what you can get out of it? Peter moves on to talking about being eager to serve. It sounds a bit like being willing, but the two go together. But they are different. Because eager to serve is contrasted with greed. If you're eager to serve, then you're not thinking of what you will get out of it, but what you can do of it. You know, there's that famous speech by, I've forgotten his name, some American president. And ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. It's a great, great line. Yeah, I know, you'll tell me sometime. Yeah, JFK, John F. Kennedy. It's a great line. But it applies even more in the church. It applies even more in the realm of spirituality. Don't ask what you can get from God, but what are you going to give? What can you give? And we all have lots to give. There was a sticker on a bumper sticker that read, "There's no limit to what good to the good that a man can do if he doesn't care who gets the credit." There's no limit to the good that a man can do if he doesn't care who gets the credit. And sometimes we will only do it if we can get acknowledged. One of the things I hate about Ronald McDonald House or the McDonald charities, they do a good job. But what I hate about it is the fact that for my money that's going in there, McDonald's is getting the credit. So I don't give it to them. I give it to other people for who I don't care the credit of. No. More the missions, usually. But if we're not worried about the credit, we will do a lot of good. If you really don't care about the credit, then you're looking for your reward in heaven, where Jesus said your reward should be. Spurgeon, C.H. Spurgeon, great Baptist preacher of the 1800s. Him and his wife had kept hens, and they had eggs, and they had more than what they needed, and they would sell the excess eggs. And people criticized them, told them that they were being greedy. Why didn't they just give them away, give them to the poor? After Spurgeon and his wife died, it was discovered that the money for those eggs were given to three widows to support them, because in the 1800s there was no social welfare. They wouldn't tell anybody that. They took the criticism. They didn't care if people criticized them for what people didn't understand or didn't know. They just did the good that they could. They weren't looking to show off their spirituality. There's a man I knew who would never do the dishes in his home. And if he went for a meal there, he would never get up to help do the dishes. Even if guests got up and helped do the dishes, he wouldn't do it. But if he went out, if his family went out to somebody else's place, he'd be the first to volunteer to do the dishes. So because of that, many of the people in the church thought he was a good man. Thought, isn't that a wonderful thing to do, to get up and help with the dishes? They didn't know that he didn't do it ever in his own home. It kind of comes as no surprise that he left his wife for another woman. Jesus was eager to be serving his Father and us, even though he knew the cost. Even though he knew where it was going. How eager are you to serve God? Do you prepare yourself on Saturday so that you can turn up on Sunday to serve God? To serve him through worship on Sunday? Peter moves through to verse 3. So not lording it over. Elders are called to rule. They have been given an awesome responsibility to lead the church. To lead the church in paths of righteousness. And that calls for them to make some tough calls at times. Calls for them to disagree sometimes with their best friends. Yet, their rule is not to be like the pagans. Who's seen the parking warden who just delights in giving tickets? I drive a truck 3 days a week in the city and they're there. And they like to take charge of the area. And if you annoy them, then they're a law unto themselves almost. But the elders in the church are not to be like that. They're called to rule, they're called to be in charge, but they're not to lord it over anyone. Jesus told us that the greatest in heaven is the greatest servant. Billy Graham wrote about a dream that he once had, in which he died and went to heaven. And when he got there, he saw this fabulous crown, gold and great jewels and everything else on it. And it's sitting there waiting for its owner to receive it. And Billy Graham said, well, it's got to be mine after all my work as an evangelist. You know, I've preached to millions. And yet, to his surprise, it was given to a cleaning lady who had served God all her life, cleaning up after others. Served her life for God outside of the spotlight. Elders are not just to work up front. In the history of the church, one of the motivating factors why why women want to be preachers is because it's up front. Everybody likes to be up front and be recognized and be seen. The ones who are doing the work of God most are those who are working behind the scenes, who don't get recognized, who don't get applauded. Elders also are to work behind the scenes, to not be seen by everybody doing things. Do you like to boss people around? If you do, then the eldership is not for you. There's only one boss. Sorry, boss. There's only one Lord of the church, and that's Jesus Christ. It is not you and I. An elder's relationship to the congregation is to be like a man's relationship to his adult children who are living at home with him. Sure, you make rules for them as they live in your house, but you don't treat them as though they're infants. You treat them as though they're people who have a brain, who can make up their mind properly. The rule of elders is similar. Instead of just demanding people do what we say, we reason with them. When we reason with them, hopefully, from the scriptures. There's only our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has the right to demand that people obey. And he does that gently. Peter moves on to saying that elders are to be examples. Not only are they to lead and rule the church, but they are to provide examples of righteousness. They are to provide an example for us to see how we ought to live. And this clearly shows us that the eldership is not the place for unconverted men. Too often in the history of Presbyterian churches, elders been chosen simply because it would bring prestige to the church. So the mayor is now attending our church, so therefore we make him an elder so that the town will know that we are an important church because we have an important man as one of our elders. Problem with that is that such elders lead us away from the scriptures, away from God, and into the mess that that the PCANZ is currently in, just to pick on one group. But that's not, it's not just to say that they're the ones in trouble. There's groups like them all around the world who have done exactly the same thing. Chosen people to try and raise the prestige of the church. The prestige of the church is Jesus Christ. And we raise him. And we honor him. And we serve him. And so our example needs to be godly people, godly men leading us. A pagan cannot give us an example of how to live a godly life. Because he has no idea. And he has no power behind him. The Holy Spirit is not living in him. The elders are to give examples of how to pray, of how to teach your children, and how to bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. Elders are to give examples of how to love your wife by showing how they love their wives. However, we're all to be examples of how to live a Christian lifestyle. Each one of us has enough knowledge to know how to live. And we're only judged. We live the way that we need to, that we understand and we already know. A friend of mine, who's long passed away now, used to say that the things that he didn't understand in the scriptures didn't bother him. The things that bothered him was the things he did understand and didn't practice. And we all know of stuff that we understand and we don't put into practice. The other thing is we need to remember that elders will fail from time to time. That elders are just men. They may be godly men, but even godly men trip up. The Apostle Paul had such an argument with the son of encouragement that they split up. Godly men who broke up a great partnership. Jesus is our greatest example. And if your elders falling apart, then pray for him. If he's not showing these characteristics, then pray for him. And pray for yourself. Because as you're judging him, you need to be measuring yourself against not him, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Not everyone is called to be an elder. Yet everything that Peter is writing here, you and I are called to do. Just that elders are called to do it better. If your elders, as I said, if your elder is failing in any area, pray for him. Encourage him. It's easy to kick somebody when they're down. It's much harder to serve them, to help them raise up. As you go home today, I hope you would think upon how following a passage like this, you can become more like Jesus Christ. How you can become more his servant. Let's pray. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. We pray, Lord, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we do pray that you would have your hand upon every elder here, and especially upon Jeff. Lord, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would help us to hate our sins the way you hate our sins, that we may clean our lives out of our pet sins, that we may serve you wholly, that we may be eager to serve you, that we may be willing to serve you, and that we may be prepared to be an example to your flock. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.